Drink from the fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're happy to be here this morning. We're thankful, Lord, to come together and to sit around the table, Lord. That spiritual table that you prepared before the foundation of the world. Lord, the bride food for the bride age, Lord. For the rapture age, the rapturing age, the climax, Lord. Lord, we thank you to live in this day, in this hour, to live in the presence of God. Lord, greater, Lord, than any time through all the ages and through all the prophets, Lord, this is the greatest time. And Lord, we say it and seal yet many times we don't realize the real depth and the real reality of it all, Lord. But little by little, it's growing and becoming more real. And Lord, to know that you are here. Lord, you're not off somewhere, but you're right among your people, Lord. You're alive. And you let them see you day by day. Lord, they know your presence. They know your word. They know the reality, Lord, of what's taking place in this day. We see the world at war. We see the morals of corruption, Lord, in the lives of the people. Lord, not just the women, but the men, the perversion that's all among the across the nations and the world. Lord, may you just take the furtherance of this service now, that you would speak to every heart. Lord, that you would be the one, Lord, both the speaker and the hearer, that you would have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. We greet you this morning, and we're happy to see each one. We're really thankful to see all of you sisters. And we thank God. We've been missing some of you for a while, and so we're happy that you're here. And we greet you in the name of the Lord. And we thank God for every privilege and opportunity. And we're glad that Brother Richard's with us this morning. Amen. And he's starting to move around a little bit, and we thank God for that. And so he doesn't get to get out too much, and so they. They made the mistake of asking me to babysit the other day. And so brother, as soon as they pulled out the driveway, Brother Richard and I was headed to the truck. And we got in the truck. And my wife was using her car, so I had to take my truck, which made it harder to get him in. But we got in, and we took off. And we rode all over the place. And I had some brunch. I was taking him out to breakfast, and he said he wanted a cheeseburger, and so that's what we did. And then we just rode and rode and had a good time. And we were trying to get back in the house before they came home, but we pulled in and they pulled in, so they caught us. And but we had a good time, and it was really good, and we thanked the Lord for it. And also we're glad to have Curtis with us. Curtis, I told you last week we met on the road, and he's been working with me, and he's been coming to church. He wasn't able to come on Wednesday, but we're happy that he's here this morning. When we left on last Sunday, He told me that he was wanting to get his life together and to give his life to the Lord. And he told me that he was wanting to join the church and do those things. And so I was telling him, I said, we don't have a membership. There's nothing for you to join. You're joining the body of Christ.
Amen.
So we're not an organization. We're not a denomination. We don't have anything. We are answering the call that he's calling,
yes,
reaching out to us. He's inviting us to live in his presence.
Right.
And that's really what it is. And that's the thing that we gotta recognize that.
Amen.
That there's a people on the earth right now that's literally living in the presence of God every day.
Yes,
and they're talking with him. They're walking with him. They're being led by his Spirit.
Amen.
His Spirit is actually leading them and guiding them. And you think it's not like the prophets of old, where the prophet said, that God said, you go to this place and do this and this and this. Well, let me tell you something. The one that was speaking to them, he's now living in you. And Jesus said, now if you believe God, if you believe the Bible, if you believe any of it, he said he will lead you and guide you in all truth.
Yes.
That he was going to be in you. And that's exactly the day that we're living in.
Yes.
We're living in the hour when there's a people on the earth that God is revealing himself to.
That's right.
By the word and by the word of this day. They're not just saying a prayer and saying, I believe Noah and I believe Moses and I believe this and that one. No, they know God today.
Yes,
that's the one. That's the God you got to know. You can't know God yesterday.
Amen.
You got to know God today.
Yes,
and if you don't understand this message, or you don't believe this message, or you don't understand the purpose of the prophet William Branham, any of that, you still must know God today.
Right.
And I assure you, once you meet him, and once you've spoke with him, and once he's spoken to you, he's going to bring you right to the message.
Yes,
that's what he's going to do. But that's just me. He's got to reveal that to you.
That's right.
I can't do it. These ministers can't do it. Nobody can do it.
Amen.
God has got to come down into your heart, and he's got to reveal it to you.
Yes.
That this is it. And it's so easy to sit in your chair at home and just sip on your coffee and think, if I'd have been in Jesus' day, I would have did this and this. I would have followed him. I would have loved him. I would have believed everything that he was doing. If you really would have, you would be 100% today. If you would have really believed him in Moses' day, you would be 100%, because he sent a prophet. He promised a prophet in this day.
Amen.
That's right. God keeps his promises. God, you just start in Genesis, in that Bible right there, and you come through every one of them prophets.
Right.
And they were constantly saying, I believe the prophet before you, but I don't believe you. That's what they did. That's the same thing they're doing today. I believe the one before. I believe Jesus. I believe Calvary. I believe all of those things. But they just can't grasp today. They just can't grasp it today. And the problem is, the real problem that they had is the same problem we had. It's because we have a life, a natural life, that this whole thing since the garden has been perverted. And so Satan has taken and put it upon the human beings, the human nature, to make you want to go to other things. That's Satan's job. And if you can't get over that, you'll never know God.
Right.
No, you'll never have a reality, a real relationship with God.
Amen.
It has got to be revealed to you.
Yes.
And so now this morning, I want to get right into it. It's not that I have a lot, but it is a lot. And but the quotes aren't that much. But I'm going to say the same thing today that I said last Sunday. Same thing. I'm just using different quotes. Last week we was in the seal book, the first seal, and through there maybe second seal, I think fourth seal, sixth seal, and talking about the mediatorial work being finished. And so this is what the Bible teaches happened in this hour. This is what the Bible is teaching in Revelations chapter 4 and 5 and 6. And right on through 8, because the seals are being opened, chapter 6 through 8 is the revealing of the seals. And even though we didn't know that these things were supposed to happen, we didn't know that for 2,000 years, the book of Revelation has just been laying there. Nobody really, I mean, the theologians guessed at it and they said, well, you know, this is that. And there's some things in there that says what it is, but they still didn't understand it. They still didn't understand that the seven church ages, that those seven churches referred to in Revelations 1 through 3, that it was actually seven church ages. Yes, it was seven churches in Asia Minor, and the characteristics of every one of those churches were the exact same characteristics of the political and the spiritual happening in the ages to come. And so every one of them, the name of that church, when you take the name, the meaning of the name, and then and read that, and the things that are being said, it fit perfectly to the Ephesian church age. The churches of Ephesus was perfectly the Ephesian church age. And so, and God sent a prophet to show us the timeline that this age lasted this long and this long and this long, told us every messenger. And every one of them was perfectly till we come down to the Laodicean church age, which is the last church age. And the Laodicean church age, that church means the people's rights. Boom. That should just be boom. There has never been a time in the history of the world. Go back and tell me during the dark ages when they were slaughtering the Christians, did anybody have rights? Huh? Go back in the Old Testament and they were blood of bulls and goats. Did anybody have rights? Nobody had rights. All the way through the Bible, there was no rights. The Christians were being slaughtered and slaughtered and slaughtered. What is it now? It's people's rights. And see, they started off, they always start off this way. Brother Branham said the biggest mistake that was made, and you sisters, just if you love God, then you'll take it. And if you don't, then you won't be able to take it. Brother Branham said the biggest mistake that happened is when the woman was granted the right to vote. Two things happened. First of all, she voted in the wrong person. Now, we're talking about America now, so whatever you think, whatever you think about it doesn't matter. I can't control that. I'm just saying what the prophet said because I believe that the prophet is thus saith the Lord. Amen. That he brought thus saith the Lord. The Bible was fulfilled. The Bible is completely revealed in this hour. It was promised to be, and God did exactly what God said he was going to do. And so he said that they elected the wrong man. They elected a ladies' man, a playboy. That was Kennedy. Okay? And so that's a lot of times people look at marriage, they talk about how bad it was, but there was a time. There was a time when America was great. There was a time when America was religious. There was a time when America, they had a path out the back door straight into the woods where people prayed every day.
Yes,
every day they went and prayed.
Right.
Morning, noon, and night, they prayed. Yep. And they were in contact with God. That was back in the early 1900s. And then what happened? The money. That's Satan, the money, the money. The money will take you away from God so fast. The popularity will take you away from God so fast.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Those things.
Right.
Yes. And the relationships.
Yes.
Women, men, all of that takes you away from God so fast.
Right.
God's got to be first.
Amen.
And so the thing was that they said was they were fighting for equal rights, right? So that's what they said it was. And so then the men said, okay, let's give them equal rights. Let's give them equal rights. So that's what they said they did. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. They gave her 90-something percent rights. That's what happened. And that's what will happen every time. It will happen every time. And so, and I can remember, I don't know, I'm getting off my message now, but I somehow or another, I'm just talking to you, and I feel led to talk to you. I can remember India. I can remember first going to Kenya. And I can remember one of the first things I learned was that some of the men like to beat their wives. And so I said, I can't find it. I can't find that in here. Nope. Now, that might be real helpful. They say, well, we keep her in subjection. You Americans, you do this and this and this. And I said, well, that's okay. I said, I said, it's good for her to be in subjection. I said, but what if she's in subjection because she loves you or because she fears you? Which one would be greater? Which one would be greater if she follows you because she sees a life worth following? Or she follows you because she knows you're going to beat her? Huh? And men actually took pride in their wives, three or four children following along behind them, carrying a child, children behind them. They got the baby bag, they got this and that. And the man could even give his briefcase or his Bible to her to carry. So he didn't carry nothing. And his chest out. I'm the man. I'm the husband. I'm the leader. The scripture says, this is the few times when I got amens from the women in Kenya. And the men got quiet. I said, the Bible says to love your wife like you love yourself. And I said, I never seen a man in my life beat himself.
Right.
Ever, 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 never seen him beat himself.
Amen.
No.
That's right.
It's something, Brother Goomba. When everything gets quiet, and you say something like that, and the women are so quiet. And then to hear them say, amen, amen. It's real. It's something they know. It's something they know. They're reading the same Bible. They're seeing one thing, and they're reading another thing. Don't think that doesn't get by people. Yeah. You might put the fear in them. You might make them do this and make them do that. But once this thing comes into your heart, then it's a relationship between you and God.
Yes, sir.
And if your husband is a man of God, then you can walk with him.
Right.
And if he's not, your number one is going to be God.
That's right.
That's going to be your number one.
Yep.
Same with mama, brother, sister, whoever it is.
Right.
God's going to be number one. I could say a lot of things right now, and I don't know what to say. I'll just be honest with you. You're making decisions every single day. Every single day, whether you're going to put God first. You're going to make decisions every day, every day, every day, whether God's going to be first. I just leave it like that. You fill in the blanks. You fill in the blanks. What we have this morning, this is an opportunity that God gives us, that God can speak to us by His Word. That's what God's doing. God arranged this thing so that we could have a time to come together. Now, you can have it at home every day, and you should. You should have some time that you're talking to Him. You should have some time that you're letting this Word speak to you.
That's right.
But you, every day, Satan is going to challenge you whether you put this first or all of the other stuff. Because if you put this first, then Satan's going to say, he don't have enough to do. Let me put something else in the way. Let me do something else to cause havoc. Let me create some chaos. Let me put more burden there. Huh? Why? You're wondering why. Why is this happening? Why is it? You're spending too much time there. get in here and watch what Satan tries to do. And then you're going to see God come on the scene. Because this is where God wants you. He wants you in this revelation. And this is a revelation. And Brother Branham said, when those seven seals opened, he said the entire Bible was opened. That's right. The entire Bible was opened up. And people go back and say, I believe Jesus. I believe Moses. You have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to know everything that God had in his mind that was written in this Bible. Because it's been opened by a promise from God. It's been opened. And it's laying there. And people sit there and say, I don't know about it. I don't know about this man. I don't know about this message. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But I believe Jesus. I believe Moses. I believe all Noah. Yeah. Tell me one thing that Noah did that's going to help you. Tell me one thing. As much as I love reading about Moses, and I love all of those little details happening and them crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, and then suddenly as they get all the way through, the water starts coming up from the bottom little by little by, and then they're all drowned. All those, I love it. But it ain't going to help me today. But this whole book of Revelations here has been revealed. This whole book of Revelations had been made known. And then all this New Testament, all of those places have been opened up. And there's still things that was back there in the Old Testament that he brought all the way up until this day. Yes. All the way through there. Opening, opening, opening. He's still revealing. He revealed to us things today that's in the book of Genesis.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Things we didn't know, he's revealed it today. And do you know, even people who doubt this message and doubt this revelation, do you know that many of them are actually believing parts of it because it's become common knowledge? Is that right? Whether you realize it or not, there's things today, say, about Genesis and about Jesus' day that wasn't known before but was revealed in this day. And people are taking it because it's just there, and it's become common knowledge. It was things that was hidden, but it's become common knowledge. Like one of the things, Sarah and Abraham being made young again. Well, nobody knew that. Nobody's seen that. But once it was revealed, then you read it and you say, that's just plainly there. Things about the serpent seed. You read it today, and it's just plainly right there. And so many things that the prophet has said told us, just like just opening our eyes to the fact that the word rapture is not in the Bible.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It's not in the Bible. And everybody says rapture, 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 rapture. But they didn't get it out of here.
Right.
That's something a man added. Yes. That's right. A man added that.
Right.
That's his interpretation. But that Bible speaks of a catching away. Now, you interpret it however you want to. I'm not criticizing using the word rapture. We use the word. Brother Adam used the word.
Right.
What I'm saying is there's a revelation,
yes, sir,
to every bit of it.
Amen.
Okay, now I need to move. Okay, here we go. So we read this quote last Sunday. I wanted to read it again for one purpose, and you're going to see what it is. There's no more blood on the seat of the sanctuary at all. That's what we talked about last week. The mediatorial work being finished. The scripture says that the Lamb, there was no man in heaven, no man on earth, no man under the earth. No one was worthy to take this book, and to loose the seven seals and to reveal the seven seals, to reveal the mysteries. There was no one worthy to do it. No man was worthy to do it. Not William Branham, not Moses. Nobody was worthy to do it. But there was one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, prevailed to take the book,
yes,
and to loose the seven seals.
Yeah.
So doesn't that interest you? Wouldn't that interest you to find out, no matter who it is that comes and tells you, to find out that God promised he was going to send a messenger in the last days. He said it in the Old Testament, Malachi 4. He said it in the New Testament, Luke 17 and Revelations 10. Right. And then, and all these, and that somebody was going to come and reveal these things and take the seals off the book.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't that excite you?
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't that excite you to know that, that you've been reading the Bible all your life, maybe, and you didn't know that? And you didn't think nothing about it, and you don't hardly read anything in Revelations anyways, because who could even understand it? It's written in symbols, it's written in those things. But then somebody shows you in there that a messenger was promised, and they show you in there that there's some seals that's going to be opened up and revealed. And there's other things in there that's being made known. And so once you see that, it should stir something up. It should get something going on the inside. If you're really one of those people that say you love God and you want God, it should be stirring you up. See? No more blood on the seat. See? There's no more blood on the altar. The sacrifice has been removed. Huh? It's been removed. The sacrifice has been removed. The blood has been removed. And that's what happened. Now, they were confused 2,000 years ago. They didn't understand what was happening. But the Lamb had come on the scene. This was the coming Messiah, the promised Messiah. He's walking in among them now, and they've been waiting on him for thousands of years, believing that he was coming, and now here he comes, and they don't know who he is. They don't understand it. This is too humble. This is too simple. And another thing we mentioned the other day is nothing changed in the politics. Is that right? Nothing changed. The political realm was the same. Jesus comes on the scene. Rome is ruling over them. Those things, all of the, they're basically slaves to Rome. And so then Christ comes. He goes through this great spiritual, feast. This thing is taking place. There's a great healing campaign. There's prophecy being made, prophecy being revealed. All these great things was happening in Jesus' day.
Yes, sir.
And then, and so they were looking for it to happen, but now they're not recognizing it happening.
Right.
So it's just too great for them, and it's too simple for them. And then Jesus, he goes to Calvary, he pays the price for sin, he reveals himself to a little handful of people, and then he goes off the scene, and who is, has the nation been set free? Has Israel been set free? Not naturally, they haven't. They're still under Rome. And it's going to get worse, because now they've rejected the Christ, and Titus is coming to scatter them around the world.
Yes, sir.
Yes, they rejected the Christ.
Right.
What are they doing today? They're rejecting him again. And now the blood's gone.
Right.
Now the blood, according to Revelations, and according to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 said that this blood that was a everlasting covenant. Not an eternal covenant, an everlasting covenant. That means it had a beginning, has an ending. That covenant had a beginning and an ending. So, but there's an eternal covenant, what God had in his mind. That covenant now is you were a part of him before the foundation of the world, and you can never be lost. Well, praise God for that. But that's only good for one group. That's only good for the elected group. And the elected group is going to believe what he said. And they're going to live a life that he manifested. So the sacrifice has been removed. There's nothing but smoke and lightning and judgment in there. Listen now. And that's just exactly what's poured out here tonight. See? Hey. Now he's telling you this is on the sixth seal. Now in the breach between is the beginning. First, this week that he's preaching the seals, he preaches God in simplicity. He preaches the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals, and then he goes to the first seal. Right? So he's saying the same thing all the way through. And so, and this is what I want to get to. This is my point. And in the past when I preached it, I actually started back further in the 70 weeks of Daniel. If you read the 70 weeks of Daniel, he says the same thing. Way back before he's preaching this, if you go back to the original church ages, that's in the 60, 61, those years, before the book was edited, what you have here, the Expedition of the Seven Church Ages, before this book was edited, then what you had was when he was preaching those messages. And he takes Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 5, and it's drawn out over a period of time, but those great messages. He was saying the same thing of what happens when he takes the book and when that the meditorial work is going to be finished. So in those original church ages, he believed was saying the same thing. Then he comes to the 70 weeks of Daniel, and he's saying the same thing. Now he's coming to the breach between in the seventh seal book, and he's saying the same thing. Yet, he's still saying what he had been saying, is that when this takes place, in other words, when he takes the book. And he said, now, it hasn't happened tonight. Why? Because the seals aren't open yet. He's always pointing to the seals being broke. Pointing to the seals. He's got to take the book. Okay? So then as he gets into the seals, he says, now I can just see him rising up now. I can see him rising up and taking the book out of the hand of him that sits on the throne. See? And he's coming forth. See? In order for him to take the book and to loose the seals, he has to leave the meditorial work. You can't do both. You have to leave that to do this. It's another work. So think back 2,000 years ago. How many of you today think anything about animal sacrifice? Is there any of you here that have a desire to sacrifice a lamb or a goat or a bullock? When you know very well that's the Bible. Am I correct? It's the Bible. And you know very well that was a commandment of God given by God. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Those things were given by God. But the scripture says that God was going to give them a new covenant. Yes. The same thing he did about the blood covenant is the same thing he said about these animal sacrifices. I'm going to give you another covenant. Well, they didn't capitalize on that scripture because they didn't want another covenant. They wanted to continue in their traditions. They wanted to continue in what they were doing. And that's the same thing today. God promised us another covenant, a greater covenant. You say there's nothing greater than the blood. No, there's not when you're talking about the price paid for sin. That's exactly right. That price was paid once and for all, and it's finished. That paid the price for redemption. But that didn't finish redemption. There's another part to redemption. There's another part. And that was yet to come. And that's why he said in the book of Acts, he said all that Jesus began to do and continues to do. He was just getting started. We've had 2,000 years. God didn't go on vacation. God didn't go to sleep. God was doing something. He had a work. He had a ministry. And that ministry was a meditorial and intercessory work. And during that time, he was interceding for the ignorance of the people. Why? Because the seals haven't been loosed. The Bible hasn't been revealed. There's mysteries in here that his people didn't know yet that really set them free. And so it's going to take the truth to set you free. So if you have half the truth, you're halfway free. Is that fair? Is that a fair statement? I'm not trying to make some doctrine here, but I'm just saying. Paul said, we know in part, we understand in part. Okay? So they had great things was happening for them. But he's telling us that this is just a piece of it. But people want to stay in part and not come to the fullness. There's the problem. He's promised more, and people don't want more. They want to stay there. And that, God help us. God help us. Yes. You know, it's like, I don't know what it's like. It's like getting married, okay? So you take your wife and you get married and you say, all right, I'm living with my parents. You're living with your parents. We'll just stay like we are, okay? I can call you at night and we can talk, have a chat. Now I work, you work, do whatever you do, and we'll talk sometime. That's how people treat God.
Right.
Yeah, that's how they treat God.
Exactly.
God wants a relationship.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, And when you are married to God, well, you're not going to stay at mom and daddy's house. You still staying at your mom and daddy's house? Oh, no, 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 no. No. You're in a relationship. You're in a relationship now. No, now you and your husband become one. You become one. This is a relationship.
Right.
And that's what God wants. He wants a relationship. See? Now, listen, this is matter of fact. He said, now, this is exactly what's poured out here tonight. He's on the sixth seal. Okay? He'd been leading up to it, saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Even way back, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And now in the sixth seal, he's saying, that's what's poured out here tonight. The Lamb has done left his mediatorial work. The mediatorial work has been finished from over on the throne. And the sacrifice, as we've typed him perfectly, the kinsman redeemer, the bloody lamb that came forth, the lamb that had been slain, see, a bloody one had been killed and bruised, come forth and took the book out of his hand. That's right. The days are finished now. Now, this is what we want to know. This is the mystery. This is the thing we didn't understand. See, now he's coming to claim. What is that? What's this claiming? What's this all about? See, you've got to claim. Just like talking about that marriage, okay? You can come talk to dad, say, oh, I want to marry your daughter, I want to do this. You can make all the preparations. There's got to be a day that you come and claim it.
Yes,
I'm taking her today. This is the day. She's mine. And what happens? The relationship begins. She becomes one with him. That's it. That's what we've been waiting for.
Amen.
You could only get so far. Okay? Could only get so far. As Brother Gumba said the other day, as a matter of fact, I think he said it again yesterday, preaching on for Brother Joshua, that we were waiting for the day of redemption. This is it. This is the day of redemption. You say, well, he paid the price. Yeah, but he didn't finish the work.
Right.
There was another part. There was another part. And he was there interceding for 2,000 years because there was something that we had not yet received from him.
Right.
And that's what was coming. And that's what we was waiting on. And that's what's here today. That's right. That's why we don't need an intercessor. That's why we don't need a mediator.
Amen.
No, not like that. No, now because you have him. You have him.
Yes, sir.
Yes. He's the Word. You have the full Word. You have the full revelation. If we could grasp that, we wouldn't be fretting about the blood covenant.
Right.
Listen, the blood is there. The blood will always be there. It's the price that he shed his blood for sins. That's not going to change.
Right.
Okay? That's fine. But that wasn't all of it.
Right.
There was something else that had to take place.
Amen.
Does anybody here have any of that blood? Huh? You don't have any? You have any? You have any of that blood? There's not even enough to go around.
Right.
Is that right?
Yep.
No. If everybody got just a drop, there wouldn't be enough to go around.
Right.
No, he was using it to cover. He paid the price so that when you sinned, and then he could tell the Father, the Spirit, the Word could tell the Spirit,
right,
Lord, that's one of mine. That's one of mine. But there was coming a day that it wasn't going to be like that.
Yes, sir.
It was going to be, he knows the Father, and the Son is living in you.
Amen.
And the revelation is in you.
Yes, sir.
And you know the Word. It's been revealed to you that you were never lost.
Amen.
You say, oh, but I was lost. You thought you were. But the problem was right up here.
Yep.
See, you was deceived with the world.
Right.
Every one of us was born in the world deceived. We was born in the world liars.
Yes.
We was born in deception.
Yes.
Okay? But one day we received the revelation. And we found out that we were saved before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Huh? So what that means is, and then we found out that there's this word floating around that we'd never heard of, and that was eternal separation. And so now, to add to our what we thought we understood eternal life, now we got eternal separation. And so as this revelation, this book of redemption is revealed, we're finding out that these people that are lost, there was never a possibility that they could be saved. They were eternally lost.
Yes, sir.
There was never a moment that they could be saved. And there's another group, that's the elected, that's the royal seed. There was never a moment that you could be lost.
That's right.
That's what's been revealed. So why does he need to intercede? And why does the blood need to be there now that you know that?
Right.
Now before you knew it, he was interceding. But now that you know it, now that it's been revealed,
yes, sir.
Whoa. Satan don't have anything on you anymore.
Right.
No, Satan's defeated now.
Yes.
No, you can't be lost. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Just think why David, and David is the perfect example. He said, blessed is the man
right.
in whom God will not impute iniquity.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know what sin is? Sin is when you go out, it could be willful or it could be ignorant, right? Yeah, when you sin. You could be doing something on mistake or you could just be doing it. Iniquity is when you know that you're wrong and you do it anyways. David knew when he took Bathsheba, he knew he was wrong. That's iniquity. One person can do it and they die. They die physically, they die spiritually. And David said, blessed is the man into whom God will not impute iniquity. Brother, sister, if it wasn't for that seed in you, we would everyone go to hell.
Right.
Because there is no flesh. There is no flesh. Don't think, you can think, oh, I'm a pretty good person. There is no flesh that will pass the test.
That's right.
There's not one. No,
Amen.
Not even our prophet, not even Brother Branham,
right.
not Moses. There is no flesh except Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's the only one. That's right.
Yes, sir.
We all deserved hell. But we stand like David.
Amen.
Blessed is
yes,
the one,
sir.
The man, the woman, into whom God will not impute iniquity.
That's right.
Oh,
yes, sir.
God.
Amen.
Praise be to God. We know. You don't need anybody to tell you. You all know. There's times you do things and you know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. See, the days are finished. Now he's coming to claim what he's redeemed. Oh, amen. That just sends something through me. Praise be to God. That's right. That's right. Let's skip down now. Let's get to... he's talking about the opening... Let's just read it. 121. Sorry. I'm so far out of line now, Joe. There's no sense in trying to get back.
Good.
Okay. Now we find out now, John said, I beheld, and we need to open the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake, and all nature was interrupted. See? And God's been doing great things, like healing the sick and opening the eyes of the blind and doing great works. But we find out here that nature took a tumble. Now, he's talking about the opening of the sixth seal, right? He's talking about the seals being opened, but now he's on the sixth seal. And so the sixth seal is sometimes referred to as the tribulation seal. A lot happens under the sixth seal. Let me leave it right there. I don't want to get off on the seal. But I want to read what he's saying. And then he seems he's bringing it to us today. And he said, God's been doing great things. There's a great healing campaign going around the world. There's great supernatural things. And he's saying even nature, the prophet even spoke to the storm and it was calmed, and these different things has happened. All these different things are happening now. And he's talking about the sixth seal. So these are things that are promised to happen. And then he's talking about things that's happening or happened already. Things he's referring to, see? And so God's been doing great things like healing the sick and opening the eyes of the blind and doing great works. But we find out here that nature took a tumble. See, yes, all of nature. See, look what taken place. The earth quaked and the sun went black and the moon wouldn't give its light. Huh? And the stars shook and fell. And why everything happened, see, right at the time of the opening of this sixth seal. And watch that sixth seal. Now, that seal, all these other things are happening under the sixth seal. They're all happening under the sixth seal. And so here he's talking about the earthquake. He's talking about all these things. And I just read before I come to the pulpit, you know, they had two earthquakes this week in Iran. Two. One was 4 point. I think both of them was 4 point something. And they're trying to figure out why this is happening all of a sudden. And I'm thinking, come on, guys. You're dropping thousands of bombs on this country. You think it's not going to affect the earth?
Right. Yeah,
there's. It's all prophecy.
Yes, sir.
It's all prophecy. It's all fulfilling the word of God. Mm-hmm. See? Now watch what he says here. Now I want you to read with me, and as you do, see, compare scriptures of this great event that we... we'll see that this great secret or mystery that was under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. Now, that's what he's trying to bring to us. And he's pointing out to us these great mysteries and that was hidden under these seals, that was hidden in the book of Revelations, that was hidden in all of the Bible. And so and that's what people fail a lot of times to realize. As I said at the beginning, sometimes you're accepting... just, I'll tell you, a good example is marriage and divorce. The message, marriage and divorce. In that message, people, the prophet goes back and he brings out polygamy in the Old Testament. He brings out all those things. And literally, that's just like that hides it from the people. It's like they read that and they're like, okay, they go away meditating on that. And in that message, Brother Branham goes back before the foundation of the world. And he brings out just simple, common knowledge, which was revelation, though, because it wasn't known. There was things in there, there was mysteries in there that had not been known from the foundation of the world. You read that message and get polygamy out of your mind. Get marriage and divorce out of your mind a little bit and read the message for the mysteries that are there. And he goes back in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, and he starts explaining what God had in his mind and the reason for the fall and the reason that the woman was not in the original creation. He begins explaining all the details of all of those things. He says, the reason of the fall was that God wanted to be a savior. God wanted to be a healer. God wanted to be a judge. He wanted to be a husband. He wanted to be a wife. He wanted to be all these things. And so there had to be a fall. Wasn't a mistake. It was perfectly planned.
Yep.
Huh?
That's right.
But God couldn't do it. So there had to be somebody else to do it. So he created the devil. He created Satan, Lucifer. And he was the most perfect angel. He was the most beautiful angel. He was the most crafty and all that he had in the music and all the things that he could do. He was the greatest angel. What a powerful thing. And so when the fall come, now man has fallen and now man needs a savior. All of those things he was revealing in that message, marriage and divorce. And he had mentioned some things a little bit here and there, but he just broke it down perfectly and brought it through and showed us how that these things had to be. See, they didn't know. Do you know it's been all through the ages, it's just been the mysteries of God There's been a mystery constantly. It's constantly been, when Christ came, it was a mystery. They had been waiting for him. Is that right? Yeah, they had a few scriptures. They had a little bit of understanding. And they were looking for the Messiah to come. One said he's going to do this, he's going to do that. One said he's coming from Nazareth. Some said he's coming from Egypt. One said he's coming from somewhere else. Is that what they did? Same thing we're doing today. We're dissecting the message. And we're saying who's right and who's wrong. Do this, 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 this. But watch God reveal it in his time. Watch God reveal his word by bringing it to pass. That's how he does it. And watch God make every word come together. Yeah. He was from all them places, wasn't he? Bethlehem and Egypt and all the places, everything the scripture said about him, he fulfilled every one of them. He fulfilled those things. And so here Christ comes on the scene, born of a virgin. This is the mystery, right? It was spoken in the Old Testament. It's a mystery. And now it's beginning to be fulfilled. And it's being manifested. And yet, it's not revealed. Is that fair? Is that right? It's being manifested, but it's not revealed. In other words, everybody doesn't know it yet. It's not revealed to them what's happening. Even the disciples. Even the disciples, they're saying, now Mary and them, they knew something was going on. But just many of the things came all the way through. He goes to Calvary. That was a mystery. Is that right? It was a mystery. They didn't know. Right. Nobody could say, he's coming, he's going to Calvary, he's going to pay the price, he's going to raise the third day. All those mysteries were happening in front of their eyes. But they weren't revealed to him yet. And then on the road to Emmaus, he begins to reveal some of them things. Right? He begins to make some of them things known. And then he just continues, though, with the mysteries, though, because then he's caught up in the cloud, and he's saying, as you see him, these angels are standing there, and they're saying, as you've seen him go, that's how he's going to come back. He's coming back the same way he went. Yeah. And so there goes another mystery put right in there. And the mysteries are playing out. Now, what's the next mystery now? The second coming. And the people there in that day are already playing into it. Some of them are saying, now he's coming any day. Any day he's going to be here, he's going to be here. And then a prophet steps up and said, no, he's not going to be here until this and this and this and this happens. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So this chaos, why? It's a mystery. There's a mystery going on here. And this mystery is going to go 2,000 years. See? And it was a mystery. These people in the dark ages just giving their lives, huh? For something they couldn't even comprehend. They couldn't understand. But something was real. Something was revealed. God was making himself known. But it was still in a mystery. All through the ages there, it was the mystery was manifesting. It was happening. But it wasn't revealed yet. That was what happened in this day. When he took the book and revealed what that was. That's what Paul did about Calvary. He took the Old Testament and he revealed what that was. And then all of a sudden there's like, wow, we killed the Christ. Look what we've done. What do we do? See, it was the mystery all the time was happening. And they always had scripture. Jesus spoke of things. He talked about the fig tree. Talked about this generation. And so that the generation that sees the fig tree bloom, which we found out was Israel becoming a nation, we found out that that's what that meant. Well, at that time, Israel was already a nation. So it wouldn't have done any good to reveal that yet, because Israel had to not be a nation, right? And that wasn't going to happen for 70 years. Titus was going to come down and disperse them around the world. And then they weren't going to be a nation. And now the prophecy that's spoken that they're going to be a nation again could now begin to be fulfilled someday once they're not a nation. Is that, am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
So the prophecy come while they were still a nation, that they were going to become a nation.
Right.
So it had to go away.
Yes,
they had to cease to be a nation so they could once again become a nation. And then the prophecy of the fig tree had to then be revealed by the prophet that said, that's Israel.
Right.
And the generation that sees that, well, they're the ones who are going to take the rapture. They're the ones. And so that's come in this day, in this hour.
Amen.
Israel become a nation. And look at what's... They've been in a battle ever since they've been in their homeland.
Right.
They have fought. So the mystery of the church ages was manifesting there in the believers in their life. And then, see, but it wasn't revealed. So watch this. Now, coming back to the quote. See, now remember, these are hidden mysteries. Yes. So, and the six seals altogether is just one great big book, huh? The six seals. Just six scrolls rolled together, and it unwinds the whole book of redemption. And that's how the whole earth was redeemed, huh? So remember, the seven seals was finished, and when those seven revealed truths, now one of them he wouldn't permit us to know, see? And see, how many was here at the seven seals and heard it? Congregation says, amen. All of you, I guess, see, the seventh seal. He wouldn't permit it. And he stood right there in the room and revealed every one of them. Did you just hear what he just said? He stood in the room and he revealed every one of them.
Yes, sir.
And that's why when I see people running away and people saying to the cloud, he wasn't on the mountain this day, he wasn't that, he wasn't this. Here it is right here.
Yes, sir.
You cannot do away with this.
Right.
This is the revelation of the seven seals.
Amen.
And then the messages from here to 1965 is the revelation of the mysteries of God hidden from the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
Once the seals was taken off, then he began to reveal those things that no other age, no other people knew.
Amen.
He said it had been hidden from the foundation of the world.
That's
the difference. That's right. And that's always been something special to me. People come and tell me, say, oh, this is the mystery. This is the thunders. This is this. He said, they will be the mysteries hidden from the foundation of the world. If you come and tell, I've had people tell me polygamy was one of the thunders. I said, I'm sorry. That was one of the first things revealed. As soon as the fall was given, it was introduced. That's how long it's been around. In man and beast.
Yep.
That's where it started. That's not been hidden from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So that is here, and every animal knows it, no matter whether the humans refuse it or don't refuse, whatever they do with it, that doesn't matter. God testifies to it every day.
Yes, sir.
That's right. So that was the revelation right there. See, one of them he wouldn't permit us to know. Let me drop down a little bit. The seventh seal, he wouldn't permit it. He stood right there in the room and revealed every one of them. And if I ever preached anything in my life was inspired, it was that. And it ought to be true to you. Listen now what he's saying. He's challenging you. Stand here. He stood there and tell you it's going to happen and go right there. What did he do? A year and 6 months. Before it happened, he said, it's going to happen. And then go out west. He said, I got to go west. He said, I got to go west to meet seven angels to get the revelation of the seven seals that would open the Bible. I got to go there and get it and come back.
Amen.
And he said, you wait here. And they had the dream. They had the six dreams and then was capped by the vision. And then even some of the people, they couldn't wait for him. They started running out there. And he said, no, I said I'll come back here to preach. He said, I'm going to bring God, I'm going to preach the messages here. He said, I always try to come first, Jeffersonville, first. See? Stand here and tell you it's going to happen and go there. And even science and everything, scientific research, everything. Mystery to the people. That's what it is. What it's always been. It's mystery. God revealing himself in mystery. Prove that it happened right there. And come right back and hear it unfold and make every word exactly right. Praise be to God. He come back and it unfolded perfectly as God said it was going to happen. And we have today the revelation of the seven seals. We have today the revelation of the seven church ages. We have today in the collective messages from the seals to 1965, we have the revelation of the seven thunder mysteries.
Right.
We have it.
Yes,
it's in print. He said, it's not written in the Bible. He said, it's an unwritten word. He said, it's a spoken word. He said, God, help us to find where it's written.
Right.
He said, it wasn't written. Then he said, God's going to tell us where it is written.
Yep.
Well, it was a spoken word, and now it's written.
Amen.
Come right back and hear it unfold and make every word exactly right. What day are we living in? Where are we at? See? Now, souls in prison now. This is what I want to get. Now, this message is 8 months. 8 months after the seals are revealed. So all of those things, by the time he got to the sixth seal, he said, that's exactly what's happening tonight. The blood's gone off the mercy seat. The mediatorial necessary work is finished. That's what he said on the sixth seal. That's what he was saying. It was going to happen all the way up to that time. The original church ages, the Revelation series, the 70 weeks of Daniel, in the breach between, in the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, sixth seal.
Right.
Saying the same thing. Now, this is 8 months after. Now, he's had time for the revelation to digest. Now, he's had time for the revelation to manifest. Let's see what he said 8 months after it was revealed. After God met him in the room and revealed exactly what it was. And remember, in that sixth seal, where all seven trumpets sounds under that sixth seal. How many of them? All of them. All seven trumpets sounds under the sixth seal. When we get to that, you'll see that, see? And he got to it. Every seven trumpets took place in that sixth seal. And seven is always the mystery. Watch that seven. That's the finish, see? That was the coming of the Lord. Praise God. That's what it is. It's the coming of the Lord. See? Heaven was quiet, silent. Nobody moved because Jesus himself, listen to this now, not even an angel of heaven knows when I will return. I don't even know it myself what time. See? They asked Jesus. He said, that's in the Father's. That's in the mind of God. See? He said, I don't do anything until he shows me. That was the man. The God on the inside was the Father. The Father has put that in his mind, and God alone knows it. The Spirit. The Spirit. That's who the Father is. People think it's another person. No, the Father is the eternal Spirit of God. That's the Father. The Son is the Word. Huh? And that's why he said in the beginning, let us create man in our image. Huh? It was the Spirit, Brother Adam said, the Father and the Son. The Spirit and the Word. Let us create man. Jesus said, the word's nothing until the Spirit comes on it to anoint it.
That's right.
You have all the word you want to, but until the Father comes and anoints the word, it's not going to live. But when he anointed it, boom.
Amen.
There was a man. Listen to this. I didn't know it. That's Jesus. I didn't know. Then see, it wasn't revealed. It wasn't revealed in that day. But it was going to be revealed. But not then. See? And listen now. And let's read real closely here because
It takes him a second to get to it. And when that seventh trumpet sounded, he stops, dot, 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 or that seventh angel, comma, stops again, dash, dash, he stops again. Seal was opened. Now let's take all of that stumbling out. When that seventh seal was opened. Is that what he's saying? Huh? He started to say trumpet, started to say angel, started to say something else. When that seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven. Huh? See, it wasn't give away what would take place. See? It wasn't give away what's going to take place when the seventh seal is opened. No, that's a complete, that mystery is completely sealed. And as a brother said the other day, it will not be made known to the public. It's complete, total secret. Complete. See? But under the sixth seal, now that's the seventh seal. Now under the sixth seal, see, where these trumpets opened, remember, under there. Now this is 8 months after the seals are revealed, right? Let's see if he changed his mind about this change in ministry, this change in intercessory work. We find out that the Lamb came forth and appeared on the scene. And he had left the mercy seat, his work of redemption. Right. Why would he do that? Because he has another work. Huh? When the blood of bulls and goats was done away with, he became the intercessor. Not the priest, not the blood of goats. Jesus Christ became the intercessory. The ministry changed. And now the ministry changes again. He's not that now. He's something different. See? Where these trumpets opened, see, the Lamb came forth, appeared on the scene. He had left the mercy seat. His work of redemption was finished. And he came forth and took the book. Now, let's stop 1 second here and let's just, because this is, I can remember these things when they first began to be preached 20, maybe 30 years ago. I don't know. I don't even know. I'm so lost for time now. I'm just getting so old. I don't know when it happened. It's so far back there. But when it began to be revealed, it put a fear in the people. And it immediately caused divisions among the churches. Immediately, the group here, and I know brother, things Brother Goomba went through there was the same thing. The same thing that had happened here. The churches, they began to join together and come against you. Simply for saying what the prophet said. Now, it was simply the problem. Some of them even now are coming now and saying, yes, he said it. I know it. I just didn't understand it. The difference is we didn't understand it either. Not totally. We just said amen. We were just sheep. And sheep just follow the leader. That's what sheep do. And then God reveals the thing to you. That's the problem is people think that they got God over the barrel. And that when you understand, then you're going to do what God said. It don't work like that. People treat God like he's the mascot boy. You ever notice that? They're making the decisions and then they're telling God what they're going to do. It don't work like that. And those women call that subjection. They tell their husband what they're going to do and then say, I'm doing it for you. Don't work like that. You don't tell your husband what you're going to do and then get his blessing on it. No. You ask him. Ask him what you want him to do. And then get his blessing like that. There's a proper approach. There's a proper approach to God. God has a way.
Amen.
Satan has perverted God's way.
Yes, sir.
That's what's wrong. And God is trying to get the people's attention back and get them back on the track.
Amen.
Brother Branham knew it, and that's why they thought They accused Brother Branham of hating women. That's what they did. They said he hates the women. And then they went back to Paul and they said he was a woman hater too. No. Brother Branham was trying to get us in our place. He told the women in Marriage and Divorce. He said, you women, this is your place. See, you stay there.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that he wasn't talking to us too?
He was.
Do you think just because he gave you a personal invitation to get in your place that he wasn't talking to us?
He was.
He put us in our place.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That word come for every seed. There was nobody that had it all together. There's nobody on the face of the earth that the Word of God is not going to correct.
That's right.
I don't care how much we admire somebody and how great their life is and how good they do and how perfect they are. The Word of God corrects them too. That's right. We can lift people up here and then sometimes we lift them so high that God has to bang them on the ground. For your benefit. They may have been okay. But you put them up there. Usually that man of God doesn't want up there.
That's right.
Because he knows that's a scary place to be. He had left the mercy seat. His work of redemption was finished. The prophet said it over and over and over again. And if you don't believe the prophet, then that's the simplicity of it. You just don't believe it. But if you believe that he was the messenger of God, predestinated by God, promised to us by scriptures, scripture after scripture after scripture, if you believe that, then you got to believe this. You have to believe what he said.
Amen.
Jesus said, man shall live by every word. You can't take part of it out. See? He came forth and he took the book out of the right hand of him to sit on the throne. And let me just say something else. There's not a bunch of thrones.
Right.
There's not just the Father's on a throne, the Son's on a throne, you're on a throne, everybody's on a throne.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bunch of thrones up there. Not a bunch of books up there. Not a bunch of books like this. He come and he got the book.
Nope.
The Father is the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit had the book. The Spirit knew every predestinated seed.
Yes, sir.
Before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Every one of them was in the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
And now those names are going to be revealed.
Yes, sir.
And so they're going to be revealed by the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lamb paid the price. The Lamb is going to take the book.
Right.
And reveal the names. And so He raises up from his throne. He goes to the Father's throne. He gets the book. And then he goes and sits down on another throne. But we know where that throne is. Because the prophet told us. He said, that throne is in you. It's right here. That's the throne. That's the throne. Praise be to God. That's where he's at now. That's where he's hiding at. That's where the mercy seat is. Think about that. Yeah. See, people start with their ideas. As soon as they heard there's no more blood, there's no more meditorial, redemption's finished, immediately he's thinking, nobody, everybody's lost now. No, he already revealed you could never be lost. Right?
Right.
You can't be lost. You're in the book.
Yep.
Before the foundation of the world. But there's a certain group of people that had to be manifested on the earth before Calvary because they were coming under the blood of bulls and goats. See? And then this was going to take care of everything. Then they were going to pay the price. And then he was going to go there and cover sin with the blood because there was yet something to reveal. So he goes there. And how long has that ministry lasted? 2,000 years. 2,000 years he's at the right hand of the Father. With the blood, the bloody sacrifice. You getting that? There wasn't this bloody mess like it was in the Old Testament.
Right.
Huh? No. Picture what God is doing. God had this in his mind before the foundation of the world. And it's just coming into manifestation. And he's revealing the mystery of it. That's what we're promised. Brother, that's what excites me, is that he's revealed it to us so we could understand it. You ever tell your children, don't do this, don't do that? I can remember when I was a little kid, I think I was in kindergarten, and I was just a little guy, and my dad was military, and he was there some, but he was gone a lot. He was always out on the ship. They'd go 6 months at a time, and sometimes a year, and wouldn't see him, and he would be gone. And so, but I had a friend that lived next door, and we were just two little guys, and so we got in the street, and so we were playing, you know, just like kids do, and we were actually in California, and the streets are busy there. And so his mother caught us, and she just raked us over the coals. She really complained. And then his daddy came home. So when his daddy came home, and some, you know how some things you just never forget? This is one of those things for me. And so his mother, you know, sometimes mothers get hysterical, and they're just, you're going to get killed. You're going to die. You're going to do this, this, and this. When his daddy come home, his daddy said, come here, son. And so we're still playing together. And so I follow him, you know. So his daddy takes him out to the car. And they get down on the ground. And we're all looking up under the car. And he said, son, he said, you see, and he's showing us the rear end. And in the old days, all the cars were rear-wheel drive. You know, now they're in front wheel. Now you used to be rear wheel. So the drive shaft would go to the back. And then that's where everything turned at. And it's a big hub, and all the gears are in there. And that comes down really low to the ground. And he started explaining it to his son. And he said, son, he said, you see this thing? He said, if that car runs over you, he said, it's not just going to go over you and then you're going to be okay. He said, this big thing right here is going to hit you. And he said, it's going to kill you. And this father, I was amazed at the care that this father put into this to explain. And he's showing him all the stuff up under the car and telling him, saying, you know, this will hit you and it'll kill you. And I'm like, wow. You know, and that's never left me. It's never left me. Not that I didn't know that or don't know it now, but it's what that father put into it. And that's what this message is for you. That's what this message is. What God has did for you to understand, to know what he had in his mind before the world began, before there was anything. God had this all planned out. He knew you was going to be sitting here today. He knew what you was going to be wearing. He knew how you was going to feel about it. He knew if you was going to be happy or sad. He knew every bit of it. He knew if you had some doubts. He knows what those doubts are. And that's okay. If there's a seed in there, he's going to clear every doubt. Yes, sir. And if there's if the love of God's not in there, there's no worries there. You'll never be happy here. You'll never be happy with God, because the seed is the only thing that can cope. Right. The seed of God is the only thing that can cope with the Word of God. That's all. That's the way it is. And so, immediately, see, and time was no more. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Time was no more. Immediately, the angel appeared in the seventh chapter, the tenth chapter, the seventh verse, saying, this angel come down and swore time was no longer. But you see, this book was what was redeemed. The book that he took, it was what was redeemed. It was the book of redemption. See? That's what he says. It was the book of redemption, and everything that he had redeemed was written in that book. All he had died for was written in the book, see? And he could not leave his meritorial seat until he had thoroughly redeemed. Now, he could not leave there. The blood could not leave there until he had redeemed. Now, watch. This is where the people's problem was. Because they're saying, no, we got all these people here that's got to be saved. Okay? How are they going to be saved? That's the only question. If he reveals to you you're never lost, then you're not worried about a ministry that was covering your sins, right? Just like the blood of bulls and goats, what it was doing. See, that was okay, but it was only for a year. And this comes, this was for once for life, right? The price for sin was paid. But let me ask you the question now. If this was concerning you, or anybody who's listening in, this thing was concerning you. When the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, did it pay the price for everybody? Huh? I'm asking you.
Yes.
I want you to do this or do this. It was shed for everybody, wasn't it?
Yes.
So the price for all sin was paid for.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Up to that time. Not your future now. If you're going to continue sinning. So my point is this. So when the blood was shed, was everybody in the world saved? Girls? No, they weren't, were they? So there was something more. So although the blood had paid the price, there was still something you had to do. Right? There was still something you had to do. And that was revealed at Pentecost. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall be forgiven of your sins. Now, that was a great day. And that was a great thing. And that set them free to another level now than what they had. But there's a difference today. There's another revelation that came today.
Amen.
You know what that revelation was? It was the word justified.
Right.
The word justified means as though you never did it. Okay? So now, if you never did it, then you don't need blood to cover it, do you? The blood's to cover what you did. But if God reveals to you that there was, that this is the house, this body is a house, right? It's a house, right? And there was another person living in this house, right? Was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Who was that person? That was the nature of Satan.
Amen.
Is that right? That was the soul of Satan.
Right.
Satan was living in this house. Is this house going to heaven?
Nope.
No, not the house. So what's going in? The soul, right? The soul. So that soul was Satan.
Right.
So now what God has done is He has annihilated that nature by the new birth now. And this is a whole other thing we could go on and on and on. So it goes deeper and longer, and we can't get it today. But the difference there is they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that baptism was the anointing upon them. The true new birth came today.
Right.
The full thing, the fullness of it came today. They had the anointing on their spirit, and you have it in your soul. So this new birth is a new creation, Christ in you. And so that nature dies. And so now, another, Brother Branham said, another William Branham was down in there. Another bride was down in there. That's right. Yeah, another Richard Dozier was down in there. See? And so that first one died. And now this other one's quickened. That seed is quickened. And now you stand justified. Because it wasn't you. Because it's Him. Right? There's only one eternal life. That's Him.
Right.
So it's Him in there now. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now there's another person living in there. And that is God Himself. And so God has never sinned and can't sin. And now the scripture can be fulfilled. He that's born of God cannot sin. Doth not sin and cannot sin. That's what the Bible says. He that's born of God. Now that can be real today because that seed cannot sin. It can't. And the real revelation is that sin is unbelief. So even when you stumble, even when you fall, even when you make mistakes, you can't sin. Because you cannot disbelieve this message. You can't. You cannot disbelieve the Word of God. No. Because it's who you are. That's right. Yeah, the flesh can stumble you up. The flesh, you can make your mistakes. Yeah, the flesh can do a lot of things. But you cannot doubt the truth.
Amen.
And I thank God.
Amen.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
Okay, I'm thinking, all that he died for was written in the book. Have I already read all that? It was redeemed. You're at 139. Where am I? Okay, yeah. All right, yes, 139. Let's just start at the top again. But you see, in this book was what was redeemed. It was a book of redemption. And everything he had redeemed was written in that book. And all that he died for was written in the book. And he could not leave his meritorial seat until he had thoroughly redeemed. And he couldn't redeem it at the cross. Huh?
Right.
He paid the price at the cross.
Yes, sir.
The purchase price was paid for,
right?
But he hadn't claimed it. He hadn't took possession. Right? There was something waiting. There was another part. Brother Branham said redemption's in two part. It's come out of, go into. So this is also the same thing. Here, there's the purchase price and then the claiming, the possessing. You've got to be possessed. You've got to come into relationship. Although he paid the price for everybody, for all sin, yet there has to be a relationship. You've got to come into that relationship. See? And he could not redeem it at the cross because they were predestinated in the Lamb's Book of Life. See? And he had to stay there to make intercessions until the last person was finished. Glory to God. See? Same at Calvary. What happened at Calvary? The veil of the temple was rent in twain. See? And the mercy seat came into view and revealed a new mercy seat. Christ hanging on Calvary. And today, it reveals again that he left the Father's throne and he's taken his throne. Where's he at? He's in you. And what are you saying? What did he say you would say? The bride is crying, grace, grace, grace. Where's mercy? In the bride. Where's life? In the bride. Where's, if there's any intercessory work, it's in the bride. If there's anything, it's in the bride. If there's eternal life, it's in the bride. She's speaking eternal life. That's right. She's speaking the word. It's him. It's not you. It's him. The priest or the perversion of it. That's right. The Catholic priests, they think they're forgiving sins. They're doing this. They're doing that. No. You're doing it. You're doing it. It's the word in you. You're giving the word of life to people. And for them to receive it is eternal life. For them to reject it is eternal separation. It's that simple. See? Where was the book? It was still in the abstract owner, God Almighty. And John looked around and wept because there was no man even worthy to look at the book. Especially open the seals and reveal what the hidden mystery was. The mysteries was in the seven seals. And when these seven seals was opened, that opened the entire Bible. Amen. The seven seals, it was sealed with seven mysteries. And in these seven seals held the entire mystery of it. See, it was the book of redemption, New Testament, not the old. So, I remember first time I preached this in Kenya, and Brother Boniface was my translator, and there was a brother sitting on the front row. And I read this and said, not the old, only proclaiming for the new. And that brother started hollering at Boniface. And he said, does it say that? Does it say that? And he stopped the service. He stopped the service. And so finally he got Brother Boniface's attention and he looked at him and he says, is it in there? Is it in there? Does it say that? And so Boniface stops. He goes over and he looks over my shoulder. He looks at him and he reads it. He said, yep, it's in there. I like it.
Right.
When you want to know.
Yeah.
You want to know it's right. That's right. But it sounds wrong, but it probably is just like he thought it was, but it sounded wrong. And that's how God lets it go that way sometime,
right,
to make you lose your own thoughts.
Yes,
and then when he shows it to you, it's so simple sometime. It's so simple. See, not the old. Now let's read it again. And it was the book of redemption, New Testament, not the old. It only proclaimed for the New Testament. See, they cannot be made perfect without us. Hebrews 11, right?
Right.
So that's what he was believing, I'm sure. But this sounded like it was putting them out. It wasn't putting them out. they couldn't be made perfect without this, without us. So even the blood, think now, don't stop at the blood.
Right.
It's got to come all the way to the fullness of it. So that was the beginning. The perfection came in this day. See, now the redemption only came when the Redeemer died. And they were potentially under the blood of lambs, not the Redeemer. Hadn't been redeemed yet until the Redeemer came. And when he came, the blood paid the price for all of it. But now they, remember, they had to come accept it. They had to come believe it. You couldn't just say, this is it. See? Now notice now. Now when this Redeemer, John looked around and, the first time I looked at the clock and, I guess I could pretend like, yeah, it's only 12. I can forget about the time change. I don't like the time change at all. I don't know. It's good when it goes back and you get the extra hour, but it's not, when you lose your hour, then you think, eh. I'd like it to just stay the same. Now, listen. we're going to at least finish this. Not everything, but at least finish this in souls in prison, because there's something here I want to get clear. This is after the seals now, and this I want you to see, to establish. And I also have after this, and I'm not going to read it now, but is the breach. Because we started, I think, in the first seal. We went through the seals on what he said about the mediatorial necessary work. And then I wanted to get this, and then I was going to go back and show you that, if we had time, that in the breach, he said the same thing. Only he's pointing to it. He's pointing to it. But in souls in prison, he's not pointing to it. He's pointing back. He's pointing back. And he's saying, that's when it happened. That's when it happened. Notice 143. Now notice now, when this Redeemer, John looked around, and here sat God on the throne with the book in his hand that had been sealed with seven seals, and the whole plan of redemption was in it. And it had been lost by the human race, Adam. See, and it went back where? It went back where? Get this now, because it's really important. Satan couldn't take it.
Right.
Satan had no rights to the book. He didn't have no rights to this. No. He caused the fall, and now he's a squatter on the lands. Now he can corrupt the nations. He can corrupt every human being. Every person's born in sin, shaped in it. Every person's born a liar.
Yep.
Huh?
Right.
That's the Bible.
Right.
That's the Bible. And he controls every nation corrupt. Mm-hmm. All corrupt. Every one of them.
Amen.
But he does not control the book.
Right.
No, he don't. No, this went back to its original owner. God put it in the hands of Adam, and Adam lost it. And it went back. So now, the lamb pays the price, and the lamb goes and gets the book. And he says, I paid for it now. I'm coming to claim what's in it. I'm coming for them. See? Satan couldn't take it. He just caused them to lose it. But where did the book go then? Didn't belong to the human race. See, the blessings didn't belong there. Here the human race had lost it. So it went right back to its original owner. That was God. See, and here he sat with it, and he called for some man to come and claim it. That's right. See, somebody he called. So now it wasn't, and we were talking about the mysteries a while ago. It wasn't too long ago that in our lifetime, that people didn't know why John was crying. People didn't understand what the big deal was about the book. They didn't know. They could read it, but it didn't make sense because it had not been revealed. But now you can understand it. See? They didn't understand all the promises we had. They didn't understand all the mysteries that we have. They didn't understand these things. That many of the things that he's revealed to us, we didn't even know was promised.
Right.
So he revealed to us the prophecy. He revealed to us the promise. And then he revealed what it was all about.
Yes,
Praise God. 146. John looked around and there was no man in heaven, no man on earth, nobody, no angel, nothing could take the book or loose the seals. See, or even to look on it. No man was worthy. See, John said he wept bitterly. And then an angel came to him and said, "Weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And he's worthy, see? And John looked to see the lion, see a lion. And what did he find? A lamb. See, the scripture said, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed." And when he turned to look, he seen the bloody lamb who paid the price. Huh?
Right.
But the bloody lamb now is identified. According to the Bible, he's identified as the lion.
Right.
His ministry has changed. He's not on, he's the mediatorial work's finished. He's done told us that. The intercessory work, it's done finished now. Now he's coming as the king. He's coming as the judge. Huh? It's the end time now. It's finished. Redemption's finished. As they knew it there, now he's coming to claim what he had paid the price for. See? He came to see, John looked to see a lion. And what did he find? A lamb. As it was a bloody lamb. A lamb had been slain since the foundation of the world. That's right. See? So what was in God's mind was being revealed, made known, see? And the lamb came forth, and he walked up to him that had the book in his right hand, and he received the book. And he climbed up on the throne, and he sat down, see? So we see? And he said, "That's it." Huh? When he takes the book, he declares, "That's it."
Right.
It was over.
Amen.
This is, "Thus saith the Lord" now.
Right.
This is the prophet. It was over.
Amen.
And then he asked the question. He says, "When?" Huh? He takes the book. He's already told us the mediatorial work's finished. The intercessory work is finished. The blood's off the altar. Huh? Redemption's finished. That's it. It was over. When was it over? When the seals was revealed.
Amen.
That's it. That finished it right there. Right there. Praise be to God. You say, "Brother, you still haven't told us how we're going to get saved today." I told you that he revealed to you, you were never lost. Praise be to God. You were never lost. You were in him before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
It don't get no better than that.
Amen.
It just don't get better than that. You can tell me, "Well, if you repent and baptize and do this and this and this, yeah, that's okay." But if he tells me there's nothing I can do, that he did it all, and that seed is him.
Amen.
Now that's the one I want. If you give me my choice, you give me my choice. Now, you could come and you could be under the blood of bulls and goats. You could be through the church ages, under the intercessory work. Or you could come and be under the full, complete revelation, the complete revealing of the Bible and the Word of God and the plan of God and what God had in His mind. That's where I want to be.
Amen.
That's where I want to be, right there. See, let's read it again. See, that's it. That's it. It was over. When? When the seals was revealed, when the last one, that was everything that he had redeemed. There was nothing, see? He come to redeem. That's right. See? And say then, now why didn't he redeem them 40 years ago? Why didn't he redeem them 2,000 years ago, huh? He had to wait for the last one that was coming in under the blood, under the intercessory work. And when the last one that was coming under the mediatorian intercessory work had finished, had come,
right.
Now he takes the book and he reveals himself to those that are his,
amen.
To the bride, to the predestinated seed. He's revealing to her that she was in him before the foundation of the world. I thought about the quote back here a while ago. Brother Branham said, "He is creating his bride now." Think about that. She is the spoken word.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that Adam was the spoken word. He said Jesus was the spoken word. Isn't it interesting that he said the bride? The bride. He never said about anybody else down through there. He said the bride is the spoken word. The spoken seed word. That's right. She is him on the earth today. There's only one form of eternal life. You can't get around it. There's only one form of eternal life. There's only one, and that's God himself. So if eternal life is living in your fleshly body, it is him.
Yes, sir.
Period. There's no other. There's no other. That's right. You can put all anything else you want in there. You can put a denominational seat in there. You can put a seat of theology, a seat of intellect. You can put any kind of seed you want. But if the seed of God is in there, that is him. Praise be to God.
Amen.
151, and their names are on the book of life, in that book. And he had to stand there because it was God's purpose to redeem them, see? And their names were put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. And the Lamb was put there with it to be slain. And here come the Lamb, and when it was slain, come back to make intercessions. Now watch him now. There'll be a lot of impersonations, a lot of everything else, but there really was somebody that was going to be saved. And the church was predestinated to be without spot or wrinkle. She's going to be there, and the Lamb died for that purpose. And then when the last name on the book was redeemed, the Lamb came forth and took the book. I'm the one that did it. Now what did he just get done saying? I know. If you let Satan play with your mind, you're going to want to go back. But don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it.
Amen.
He has revealed this thing.
Yep.
Redemption was finished. All that were coming under the blood covenant came.
Right.
And it can take a lot of messages, but he comes right along just a couple months after. And he said there, when the seals was revealed, that's when it happened. That's when he took the book. That's when he broke the seals. That's when he revealed. All the Bible was made known. All of it was opened up right then. See? That's where it happens. And so you can't go back.
That's right.
153, the angels, the cherubims, the 24 elders, the beasts, everything uncrowned themselves and fell down before the throne. And he said, worthy art thou. See, John said, everything in heaven and earth heard me hollering, amen, screaming, hallelujah, praises to God. The scream went up. Why? Their names was in the book to be revealed, and the Lamb had revealed it. And the Lamb had revealed it, but he could not come forth until every name was revealed. And that was taking place, listen now, that was taking place under the sixth seal before the seventh broke. Huh? Put it in its place. Put it in its timeline. All of that happened under the sixth seal before the seventh. So once that takes place, the bride is caught up.
Yes,
and where is she caught up to? Where were you planning to go when you were raptured? Where were you going to go? In your mind, and you're thinking about a rapture, where were you going? Huh? Heaven? You were going to go to heaven. Okay. So what if that heaven you were going to, that rapture you were going to, was actually a revelation?
Right.
And that you were going to heavenly places,
mm-hmm,
in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that you, for a period of time, were going to still live in this same flesh. Yet that old man was going to be killed, and the new man was going to be born, and now Christ was going to live in you in this flesh that he redeemed.
Yes.
And you know, this people, this last day people, they're different than any other,
right,
because they have the fullness. Paul told his people, you only have it in part. We only see it in part. We only understand it in part. Paul was telling the people that. That's what amazes me about the people today who have access to the fullness of the revelation of God, the fullness of the presence of God, the fullness of the Spirit of God, the fullness of what God promised, and they want to go back to what's in part. You once this has been revealed, see, that's like the preacher telling Brother Branham said, you know, there's no Holy Ghost today. That was for the disciples. And Brother Branham said, well, it's too late. I already got it. Huh? So now you're going to tell me now that we need to go back to Paul's day, that we need to go back there under the revelation, which was in part. It's too late. I already got the fullness of it. I already got the revelation of redemption. Already the book's been revealed. Why would I go back?
Right.
Why would I go back and act like I don't understand? And then I got to strive to do this and do this and do this. Huh? Why would I want that when I have the fullness of it
right
in my hand?
Amen.
And living on the inside? See, he had to wait. See, then spotless, then the Lamb. See, right before the seventh broke, then the Lamb came for what he had redeemed. He come to claim what he had redeemed. He's already got it right here in the book, taking it from his hand, and he's coming to receive what he has redeemed. That's his work. He's done. He's come to receive it. That's his work now. In the church ages, his work was the mediatorial work. When he takes the book, his work is to claim. His work is to have a relationship, to become one with his bride.
Amen.
That's his work. It's a different ministry.
Right.
Totally a different ministry. And you know, I'd like to touch on that, but if I did, I need another hour. Okay, I'm going to finish Souls in Prison. We just got a couple more paragraphs, I think. See, he's coming to receive what he has redeemed. That's his work. He's done. He's come to receive it. Oh, what a time. Has proven it. And the seventh seal has, the seventh seal proved it.
Right.
What proved it? The seventh seal. How could the seventh seal prove it? Because he came. Because the seventh seal was opened.
Mm-hmm.
See, all seven trumpets sounded under the sixth seal.
Yes, sir.
Before the seventh opened. And then when the seventh opened, it was a complete mystery because it wasn't going to be made known to the public. It was only going to be made known to the seed.
Right.
And how could they possibly know and everybody else not? Because he was on the throne. That was his destination. His destination was the throne. He left that throne. He came to this throne. And that's where he's at.
Right.
See? Come back and took the book of redemption, 156. See, notice now, it has to be the seventh angel's message was to reveal the seven seals. Revelations 10:7. Now, you'll find it, see now. And he saw this angel come down. Who did? The seventh angel. The seventh angel saw the mighty angel in Revelations 10:1-4. He saw it. Because this, he said, the seventh angel was standing on the earth when he came.
Right.
Now, either you have to believe in a return ministry, the prophet come back and stand on the earth, or you got to believe that he came while the prophet was here.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And that's why I got more respect for those return ministry people.
Right.
But the problem with them is they also fail to believe all that he said. Because they have to leave these things out to believe that.
Yep.
So both sides are in a mess.
Yes, sir.
There's only one way it's going to work, and that's when you believe all of it. When you take all of it, then it's going to work.
Amen.
See? And he said, he saw this angel come down, put his foot on the land, on the sea. That was Christ. See, and he had a rainbow over his head. Notice him now. You'll find him in Revelations 1 with a rainbow over his head. And also Revelations 10. See, and it's to look upon as jasper and sardis and so forth. And he come, put one hand, one foot on the land, one on the water, raised up his hands, had a rainbow over his head yet. See, that's the covenant. Huh? That's the covenant.
Right.
He's telling us we have a new covenant. This is the eternal covenant. Brother Branham preached the message token four times. Read those messages. He made it clear that the blood covenant was for 2,000 years. Huh? He also said it in a thinking man's filter. He said the blood was shed for 7 church ages. That's right. And then we enter in. Then we enter into Christ. That's right. So that was a covenant. The covenant, he was the covenant angel, which was Christ, made a little lower than the angels to suffer. And there he come and put his hands up to heaven, swear by him that lives forever and ever, say the eternal one, the Father, God, that time shall be no more. When this taken place, it's run out, it's done, it's finished. Praise God. So I just love it when you don't fear the Word of God. See? When God's revealing himself to you, then these things don't upset you. Then you just, they're just reality. They're just reality. And God makes it real. And he's telling you, God didn't go away. God's here. He's the Word. He's the Spirit. Just as he was doing that work, now he's doing this work. This work is different from that work. Totally different. Now he's come in his fullness. Now the Word has been revealed in its fullness. Not in part. Go back and read what Paul said. We're looking now through a glass darkly. Huh? I can see you, but you don't look too good. See? And I probably don't either. You see me? You can see me, can't you? But it's not clear, is it?
Right.
Trust me. If we get rid of the glass, I see you a lot better.
Amen.
Yeah. Paul said, we see as through a glass darkly, but then we shall see him face to face. Whoa. What a promise.
Amen.
What a promise. See? See, at the, and the message of the seventh earthly angel, the messenger on earth, the seventh and last church age, at the beginning of his ministry, when he starts off into the earth, at that time, the mystery of God of these 7 seals should be made known by that time. Now we see where we're at, see? Could it be, friends? Could it be? Notice all possible, see? And all that had been redeemed in that book. And he come for redemption. And all that was to be redeemed was in the book. Predestinated when? Before the foundation of the world. He come to redeem it. All he had redeemed was written in, therein. That's right. See? So then, okay, so we got it. We made it. So that's in the breach between. So all that was in the book. And I mentioned this the other day. I want to say it again because it fits so perfectly right here. Brother Branham said, what's happening? Huh? He takes the book. He's coming to redeem the names. And he said, do you know he said that the book is the Bible? And he said the names of the elect are in the Bible. Do you know he said that? Oh, first time I heard that, I was, whew, how's that going to happen? But he said it in more than one way. But he said it like this one time, and this was the best. He said, there was mysteries. It was full of mysteries, right? So then that, so this Bible includes all the words of God, right? So this is the Word of God because God spoke it. The Lamb came and revealed. The Lamb came in the room and revealed to the prophet. He come out. He preached it every night. So all these things, that's a revelation. These things, he was making himself known. These were his mysteries was being known. That was all part of the Bible. And he said now, the names of all the elects in the book, this book of redemption. And he said, it's the Bible. And he said, what's happening, he said, is there's a mystery there. And he said, the mystery is revealed. God speaks and reveals the mystery. And he said, you either agree or disagree. Right? That makes sense? You either say amen or oh me. You either say that's me or that's not me. He said, the mysteries are calling the names of the elect.
That's right.
The mysteries are calling them. So as he speaks the mystery. So what was it in Jesus' day? It was those that could believe the mystery. Huh? It's always been a mystery. Every age was a mystery. Every age God's revealing himself little by little by little. And in every age he was rejected because nobody wanted to believe him. Huh? But every age there was a little small group Not the big group after. Sorry. That's embarrassing, but no, I'm good. Just give her a little spray. So you get so excited sometimes, and you can't help it, but some have it much worse. We used to have a brother come by the church there, and buddy, when he came, nobody sat on the front row. Nobody, because when he got down, he'd get in your face, and it was just coming everywhere. So I try not to do that, but sometimes you just get... I love him, don't you? I just love him. This message is so great. It's so wonderful. It's a revelation. The catching away, you're caught up in it. You're caught up in the mystery of it. And it's him. You're caught up in him. Because he's the Word. Right? He's the Word. And what happens is the Father, the Spirit, comes and quickens the Word in you. And it lives. It's just like putting a seed in the ground out there. It just, you can't stop it. It's like they said years ago, they said they found, and I don't know how they determined this stuff, but they said they found seeds that was in the garners of Egypt in Joseph's day, thousands of years old, and said they planted them and they grew. Now, I don't know where that's at, but I'd like to have some of it. But this here, this seed, it's not thousands of years old. This seed's eternal. Amen. This seed was in him before the foundation of the world, before any man, before air, before moisture, before anything, before any world, before anything. It was in the mind of God. You were a part of him. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing to think? That we, you know, the churches, the denominations, all of that stuff, they had us in this little denominational box. Just believing God was this little guy. And just if we needed him, we just opened the box and ask him for what we wanted and put him back in the box and close the box. And we found out that there's nothing you can even think or do that he didn't know before the foundation of the world. And that's not just for you. That's for every person that ever lived on the earth. We can't fathom that. There's some smart people around, but we can't fathom that. He's that great. And he can make billions and billions of people, and not two of them look exactly alike. You can be twins, but you're not exactly alike. No. That's our God. That's right. He could put a seed in you and then put you in the midst of this worst unbelief and perversion that was in the whole world. And that seed would bloom into the life of God and rise above that perversion. That's our God. That's right. And you can take the seed of the devil and put him in the presence of God and he still wouldn't believe it. Nah. Cain proved it. God proved it in the very beginning. You just, if you want to believe the message today, just go to Genesis. Just go to Genesis and read about Cain and Abel. And the whole, God's whole plan is established right there. It's established. One got a revelation from God and obeyed God. One got jealous. God spoke to him and said, you can have it too. I'll give it to you. Just do what he did. And he couldn't do it. That's it. Rather, if that spirit is bothering you that makes you have anything against the message, anything against the Bible, get that thing. Overcome that thing. Right. Defeat that thing. Don't let Satan overcome the Word of God.
Amen.
If that seed's in there, it won't. It won't.
That's right.
Brother Goomba, will you come? God bless you this morning. Kept you a little bit long, but I'm sorry. I just couldn't help it. God bless you, brother. God bless you so much. You're going to take this?
I don't know. But
you just got to say hello.
I just say hello. Okay.
Take that. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Just take this one.
Yeah, I'll do it. You want to? Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think you don't have time. This is, well, that's good. That was good. He said it. And he brought it so well. I love it. I love it. It's so good. So deep and so wide. And it went, it touched everywhere. And that's very good. But one of the things that he said that really made me fear a bit, I had never looked at it like that. And I'm sorry. It's a bit fearful that when they lift you up, they lift you up,
yeah,
you're going to fall from there,
yes,
in a great, that's fearful. And give me a picture of brother, a man in Kenya. I think the young people don't know him because they were not there when he was there. He was the son of the first president of Kenya, Jomo Kenyatta. His name was Peter. He was big. He was big. And I think, I don't know what happened. I think they wanted to kill him or something after the next regime came. So what happened? They took him. They took him. And they're happy. They're saying, hi. And they, those days when they want somebody, they just released, physically they took you up. With your hearts and singing. This is the highest, and this is the, when singing, and they dropped him, pack, and that was the end of him.
Wow.
That's the end of, that's what I'm saying, is a bit fearful. When you let people,
yeah,
that's why the prophet said, Lord, I'm going to quit preaching. That's what, what Brother Abraham said.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit preaching. I said, why? Because they are taking me into the position of Jesus Christ. I don't want that. I don't know that. That is a bit fear, brother. I've always run away from it, but that's more fearful now to me. I don't know nothing. When people raise you up, the problem is that the people will always, you people will always respect us. That's right. Whatever you do, you find yourself respecting us. It's put in you that whenever we bring this word and you see God like Brother Don doing the things that he's doing, bringing the kind of words he's bringing here, there's no automatically, brother, I'll respect you. I fear that. I fear what you say, dear brother. I can't pray with that. And it's in you. So I must respect you. I must raise you up. But when you come to a place when you want it, and you are even, shake him. Take me more up. Take me upper. Take me up. That's when it's dangerous. That's when it's dangerous, brothers. And you got to balance it. That's very, very important. That's very, another thing, brothers, is Alexei here. And also, let me say this, because I've said that very many times, brother, and it's me, brother. I hate it. I hate it when people, it's wrong doctrine. It's wrong doctrine to take anybody, anything else, but a preacher. Do you get that? It's wrong doctrine. You are teaching something that is wrong. Not teaching, but believing something is not wrong. If you're taking me, it's anything else, but a preacher.
Yes, yes.
That's right. A preacher. And who? What about importance? You are as important. When God called, listen, I have a quote if you want. When God called you to preach, he called some people. That's what he said about the prophet.
Yes.
When he called the prophet to preach, he called some people to listen.
Yes.
Really, yes. So who is more? Both are important. God called you to preach. God called them to listen.
Yes,
respect them. And you respect. That's right. You are important. You are the bride of, and God does not deal with an individual. Yeah, of course, he deals with an individual, but he's calling it a bride body, the bride body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he is.
That's, right.
That's what he said. The bride, the body of the bride, the body of the one. That's exactly right.
Amen.
You are very important. He is very important. We are important. All of us are together, and we are God's. That's right. Now, another thing is, whatever we do, young people, whatever we do, I know he's come in different ways, in different routes. But whatever we do, that thing about giving God the first place. Can you listen to me, young people?
Yes.
There are a lot of things here. A lot of things. Work. You want a good car. You want this. You want that. But please, don't you never forget that all that is vanity.
Right.
You want a good husband? That's all vanity. You want a good wife? That's all vanity. You want some great money? That's all vanity. You are dying. Do you have Joseph Karok today? Do you have Brother Holmes today? Yeah. What happens when that comes? What did you do? What did you do? Do you know that song? What? You don't know? Do you know it? What did you do if God calls it away?
Yes.
What did you do? What did you do? You want all that you want, but what would you do? Would you like to be friends with Jesus? That's the best. Would you like to be friends with Jesus? But every time, every morning, you go there, personal. Words are good and everything is good. Talking about it, coming to church is good. But what about personal? A personal thing. But you know, I know that me and him are friends.
Yeah.
I can talk to him, he can talk back. Are you getting it, young people?
Yeah.
Girls at the back here, Esther, really, are you getting it? It's not a joke. You realize it's not a joke when you see somebody's gone.
Right.
He doesn't have a chance now. Somebody's gone. He doesn't have a chance now. And you know it. He doesn't. I'll go. Maybe one of these days I'll go. And you know, I don't have a chance now. But I had all this chance. This is the time. This is the time. Right. Can you be friends? Can you make your life right? Can you go to God and say, I want to be friends with you. I want to speak to you and you speak back. This God is not a mice. I think, what is a mice? It's not a mice. It's not a mice. It's not hypothetical. It's not thinking. It's real. It's reality. It's a God that you can talk to and a God that you can talk, that he can talk back to you. If you just talk to God and he doesn't talk back to you, then there's a question mark there. Who is this? Then it's not real. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then it's not real. Praise God. It's come to a place. We got to come. We got to come to that. Whatever we do, we got to come to that where this is not only real, but he's my friend. He's my friend. He's my friend. He's the nearest help in times of need. Brother Don, thank you very much. Whatever you do, he's in it. You're starting a business, he's in it. You're doing that, he's in it. You're buying a piece of water, he's in it. You're working, he's in it. Whatever you do, don't brother, don't you really explain it. I've never seen it like that. Like God is in a box. Come, Lord, I want you because I'm in problems here. I'm through. It was a storm that was coming and I was driving through the storm and I was fearing God coming out of a box. Get me through out this storm. I'm out. Now it's clear. The sun has come. Go back to the box, God. I can drive it now. You, I've never seen it like that. You really given it a picture that really shakes me. Can you get what I'm saying, brothers? He's my friend. When it's good, is my friend. When it's bad, is my friend. I'm with you all through. I'm with you all through. He's with me all through. And you know what, brothers? I'm not preaching, but you know what, brothers? He doesn't run out. He doesn't run out of me. He doesn't run away from you. It's you always who runs away from him because of this, because of this. And you give reasons. And it's those reasons sometimes, Brother Don, it seems like it's a genuine reason. It's just a genuine reason. I'm working.
Yes.
I'm working too much. I need money too much. But have you ever, there's a brother, I'm not preaching, forgive me for this. There's a brother in Kenya who was employed somewhere. And every Sunday he was taken out. He was to work every Sunday. And he said, he went there and called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I can't leave this job because this is where I eat, this is where my family is. But I want you to take it out from me and give me something else. Then he cried there, he continued working, but cried. Is that what you do? I'm not talking about your job. I'm talking about everything that hampers you, that gets you in a fold like that. That you can. There's nothing you can do because you are here. You cannot serve God. How many times do you pray? Let's not even go to that. How long do you pray? That minutes does not take you anywhere. Let me give you an example. Do you remember when the prophet did something to God? And the prophet, and he was told, I'm not with you any longer. It's scary. It's scary that And we, how many times it happens in our lives that he's not even with us, and we don't even realize, and we even don't know, and we don't even don't care. You're just dry. It's not there. It's not, and you don't care. That's scary, brothers. It scared the prophet. And the prophet got out one morning and he went to pray. This is interesting. He prayed the whole day. The whole day, talking to him. The whole day.
Amen.
Finally, in the evening, he came. He told you, I've forgiven you. We don't know even whether he's forgiven me or he's not forgiven me. I don't care. I just got there very fast because I'm going to work. I'm going to work anyways. I have 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I just talk to you and I go to work. Yes. That's not the kind of relationship he wants with you. Can you give him time? When it was finally done, I want that kind of a friend.
Yes.
When finally done, and he was told, I've forgiven you. He went back there, Lord, I know that's true, you've given me, you've told me that, but there's something else I want. If I don't bother you very much, because you're my friend, would you bring me a sign that surely you've done it?
Yes. Glory.
We are talking as a friend now, Lord. Would you give me that, please, Lord? If that is true, Lord, this is the sign that I'm like, would you bring a whirlwind? And the prophet said, the horn almost took him. Brothers, can we have that kind of a... The God of prophet, Brother Abraham, you remember in the Bible says, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. You remember that? That is the God of Brother Abraham. Yes, right? Can you have that kind of a God? God of Brother Abraham that can talk, and you can talk, and you talk him back, and he talks to you back. Can you have that? Let's pray. Let's pray, brothers. If you didn't love us, Lord, you wouldn't do the things that you do. But we are sure, Father, that you care for us. You care about us, Lord. You love us. That is why you talk the way you do. You want a closer relationship with us, Father. That's what you desire. Father, there are these things that take us away from you. Father, we put you maybe a certain number, not even number two. Some number down there, Lord God. We are sorry. We come after you talked the way you talked through your servant, Lord. It touches us, Lord. And our prayer is, Father, put us back into a position. Take us, Father. Take us to yourself, Lord. Speak to us. Bring us. You have the power and the ability to do it. You can do it, Lord. Because not all things are possible with you. We want to give ourselves to you, and you do whatsoever you want with us. Bring us where, put us into our place, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for our lives, Father, that's not up to that. Forgive us, Father. Wipe it out. Wipe it out, Lord, and bring us to that place where, like that singer said, that you are pleased with us, that you are happy with our lives. We commit ourselves to you. Thank you for the way you've spoken through your servant. Thank you for the message, Lord. Thank you for speaking today. Let it not just be in vain, but let it be something, Lord, that you activate something, that you do something in our lives, in our heads, Father. In our lives, Lord, let it be, Father. A closer walk with you, Father, is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Ah, gosh, brother.